What's up, everybody? Another episode of Games, Sports, and More, the podcast. How's it going, John?
I'm doing fantastic. How about yourself, Richard?
I'm doing all right. What do we got going on today?
Well, I'm kicking back, drinking a cup of coffee out of a sweet, sweet-ass Florida Gators coffee mug.
You're welcome.
That's right. And just getting excited for football season because we're like, what, 8 days away from college football?
I know, it's crazy, isn't it? And like the crappy part is I love, as much as I love football, it always means the bad weather's coming.
That is the part that I despise.
Yeah, I know. It's like you can't watch Canadian Football League because it sucks.
Yeah, I tried uncle lives in Canada now.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, because he married a Royal Mountie.
A Royal Mountie, huh?
Yeah, I'm not making it up. And he moved to Canada to be with her and her kids.
He's Royal Mounting her in Canada, huh?
You know it, son. Mm-hmm. And he was a diehard NFL and college football fan.
Yeah.
But now, like, he'll only work with the, watch the Canadian Football League.
Wow, it's commitment, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, I tried watching it in support of him, and I did not dig it that much.
No,
I mean, there's lots of college players I know that play in Canada because they didn't make it in the NFL.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I'm not really digging it.
The biggest problem I have with it is why the hell isn't half of it isn't even in HD? It's like basically it seems like the minor leagues for camera crews and announcers and everything. It's,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, spend some money, up the value of it a little bit, more, and I'd probably watch.
Well, I mean, they put more production value into the Arena Football League.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, no, the Canadian Football League, every time I watch it, it's not even in widescreen half the time, seems like.
Nope.
Seems like it's a throwback. Like, they're using old secondhand cameras and everything. But, yeah, it's just it would be fine. Football's football for the most part, but it's Canadian Football League's fucking boring to watch.
I know, and I just wish it was better.
Yeah, I mean, it lacks in a lot, and the same reason you don't watch the European Basketball League or anything. It just, you know, might as well watch women's softball. It's that slow paced and boring.
Damn.
Yeah. So anyway, what else we got going on? Anything interesting in the world of game sports and more that you want to talk about?
Well, that's a really good question. I've been playing lots of one video game lately, and that's it.
Which one are you playing?
The Witcher 3.
Ooh, you're a Witcher fan, huh?
Oh, I love it.
I'm not a fan myself, but I've never really played it. But at the same time, I just remember a lot of people really getting excited when they announced they were going to make Witcher 3.
Yeah, well, they were excited because, like, the second one was gigantic, but it was also held back by just kind of limited hardware.
And yeah.
Also, they made a really bad combat system. So with the announcement of the third one, they said that they'd be fixing all that and the world be even bigger, and it'd just be one gigantic open world that you can just constantly cruise around in.
Yeah.
And if you have enough patience, you can ride from your horse from, like, one area all the way to the end of this other massive world, or you can take a boat, depending on what you want to do.
On a boat, does he got his flippy floppies?
I wish. No, he just kind of hops in a sailboat and just cruises.
Oh, okay.
But another draw of those games is the fact that they're, well, it's weird the way that people phrase it, but they always say it's like, you know, it's a mature RPG because it's got, you know, titties and violence.
Well, that's what you need in an RPG to keep people interested.
Well, yeah. But another thing that I like about it is no matter what you do, it's not the right choice. Or it could be the right choice. You just won't know for another, like, 10 hours.
Just like in life.
Exactly. So you may, like, help someone out with something, and then you'll find out that, you know, later down the road, they murdered and killed a small child and you could have prevented it.
Oh, it sounds like a happy game.
Oh, it's a very happy game.
Very happy game.
Last night I killed this guy whose nickname is Horson after he had done some not very nice things to some prostitutes and then hung them from his ceiling.
Well, that's just what you do.
And he was like, oh, you should let me live. I'll be a better person. I was like, I see this going very badly if I let you live.
Yeah, but that's a great thing.
And burnt down his castle.
See, well, that's the problem with the games like that. Is like, I want to be the good guy, but I want to be the bad guy at the same time. I end up being the good guy just because I have, like, for some reason, I have a moral conflict with this stupid fucking video game. Meanwhile,
I just want to
see everything burn.
Well, that's the best part about this is sometimes, like, you never know what's the right choice. And I've just been making ones where it's like, yeah, I'm making the right choice, but it's the more violent choice. So well, I'll constantly choose to just, like, kill people instead of trying to talk it out or fake my way through stuff.
Well, that's just the simpler route. Like, I don't want to go through a whole bunch of dialogue when I can just slit somebody's throat and be done with it.
Oh, yeah, and it lets you do that to basically any encounter with people.
Sweet. I might have to check this out.
It's a lot of fun. It's one of those things where it's more like it is an RPG and there are lots of dialogue, but there's a lot of action. You'll just cruise around, just murder just random stuff. And since it is you're a witcher, you hunt down random monsters.
Okay.
So you'll kill like giant tree ants and stuff like that.
Giant tree ants.
Ants.
Ants. What's an ant?
It's basically like a walking tree. You know those gigantic things from Lord of the Rings, the Two Towers? Like that.
An int? How's that spelled?
E-N-T.
An E-N-T. Entertainment, huh?
Yeah. But I mean, then you kill like werewolves and vampires and all just kind of random stuff.
Well, all right. Well, you know, well, it's a fantasy world, you know, so.
One thing we could do, just throwing this out there, I have the capabilities. Is we could actually, you could come over here and we could record us playing the game and talking over it with the microphones.
Is it a two-player game?
No.
Okay.
But, you know, so like...
You want to invite me to your house to have me
you can pilot it and I can, like, talk while you are playing.
Oh, yeah. That would be... Hey, I'm always down for that.
Because we did do that. David and I did that back in the day when I was trying to convince him to play Borderlands, but I didn't realize that since he's colorblind, Borderlands isn't a colorblind friendly game.
That means you're weak.
Yeah.
You're weak, David. You're weak.
Oh, man, I can't do the high-pitched voice like Nick Swardson.
God. I would, but I'm not gonna do it.
Oh, too bad. Yeah, I was kind of hoping.
No, it's a little... Well, actually, it's been a little smoky, so...
Oh, it's been horrible. Stupid
the fire. Last month, so I'm, you know, I've got my sexy voice going on. I'm not gonna go high pitch with that.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
I'll just do this. Potatoes.
Yeah.
I like mine with mustard.
I like ketchup.
I reckon I ain't kill nobody. What movie? What movie, John?
Sorry, what was the line again?
I reckon I ain't kill nobody.
I'm not sure.
Sling Blade.
Bam.
Billy Bob Thornton.
I do love me some Billy Bob Thornton.
He likes his potatoes with mustard. And he reckon he didn't kill nobody with a lawnmower blade, but he did.
Oh, he's such a fun actor.
He's crazy as shit in real life, but
yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Pushing 10 was one of the best movies I ever saw, in my opinion.
I don't like his music very much either.
No, I don't give a shit about his goddamn music. The whole interview with him, with you know, like he's there with his band to talk about it, and the guy kept asking him about it, an NPR interview, and the guy kept asking him about his acting career, and he starts going off to this, about this Monster magazine. Have you seen that clip?
No, I haven't.
It's one of the most awkward moments. But it like starts talking about a Monster magazine. About monster movies, and he starts talking about it, and after the guy asked him a question about his film career, and he goes, what does this have to do with your film career? And he's like, Billy Bob Thornton, he's just like, no, it's a magazine about monsters. Like, it just, he didn't want to talk about the acting versus the band or whatever, and he just decided to be a fucking dick about it.
The thing I find crazy is every time, he used to go on the NFL Network all the time.
Why?
Because he's friends with Rich Eisen.
Again, why?
And he's also it's weird. He says he's a Colts fan, but basically he's only a Peyton Manning fan.
Oh, so he's a Denver fan now?
Yeah. And so every time he'd go on there, he'd be, like, super polite and, you know, and, like, actually talk about whatever the hosts wanted to talk about. But it's just other interviews, he not quite as much.
I don't know. Whatever. Like, he does a couple of good movies here and there. But for the most part, I could give a shit.
He was great in Fargo.
The TV show?
Yeah.
I haven't seen the TV show Fargo.
Oh, the first season was great.
I heard it was really good. I just haven't bought it. Hasn't come out on Netflix, I don't think, or anything yet.
No, they haven't, which pisses me off. Because I want to watch it before the second season starts next month or whenever it is.
Yeah.
and I'm afraid they're not going to do it.
Probably not, unless they've got to make a deal with somebody nowadays. Nowadays, you pretty much have to go to on-demand if you want your stuff to survive, because people aren't buying season DVDs anymore.
That's the thing that confuses me about FX, though, because say they have like Sons of Anarchy, which I don't give a crap about, and that's on Netflix. But then they don't put, you know, like Justified and show some of their other shows on Netflix or Amazon or wherever. You have to like spend a bunch of time hunting them down.
Well, Justified was on either Netflix or Hulu.
It had to have been Hulu because it's never been on Netflix that I know of.
I think it was on Netflix because my wife and I started watching it a few years ago.
Really?
And we didn't, I think it was during a time we didn't have Hulu. I'm pretty sure it was on Netflix for a short time.
Maybe it was before I got Netflix then.
How long have you had Netflix?
Probably 3 years, maybe.
Yeah, we started watching it a few years ago. We tried to watch, I think we watched the entire first season and got into the second season. And we're like, nope, we're out.
Well, I remember that you, when we went and saw Bob Marley and at Helium Comedy Club, you were talking about how you were not exactly a fan of the show.
Yeah, and that's been a few years.
Yeah.
I guess we were living in Hillsborough at that time, yep. So that was 4 years ago.
So that would make sense then.
Yeah. So yeah, I just don't like it. I just didn't like it. It was, I don't know. I don't do basic cable TV series anymore.
Such an elitist.
Yeah, I guess I just like have no attention span. Like I don't like The Walking Dead.
Oh, neither do I.
The first season was pretty good, and I got a few episodes in the second season. And I realized, oh, this is just a soap opera with zombies.
Yeah. I saw, I think, 3 episodes and didn't like it.
Just like Sons of Anarchy. It was just a gigantic fucking soap opera.
Oh, that show's so... So the craziest thing about that is Tracy and I started watching Sons of Anarchy. And we're like, oh, bikers, Ron Perlman, awesome. And so we marathoned the first 4 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And like the entire time we're like, oh, no, it's gonna get better, I swear.
Yeah.
Because there was parts we loved about it. And then they, like, killed off the one last character we liked.
Yeah.
And we're just like, oh, fuck, no. And we started watching, I think, like, the first 3 episodes of the 5th season. And I think they have, like, 7 seasons or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's 7 total.
And we're just like, man, I just cannot do it.
It's my wife. She finished the whole series, and she just finished the last season recently, which I was surprised because... She got halfway through the whole series, and she was like, "This nothing good ever happens."
That's what I hate about it.
Yeah, and I'm okay with it. Like, but I'm okay. Yeah, it got real tedious for me. Like once I got back from Ireland, I think season 3 or 4.
Yeah, that was season 3 was Ireland.
Yeah, so I started to watch a couple episodes of season 4, and I was like, "I just can't do this. This is just a waste of my time because I don't care." It was like whatever. All right. Peggy's, you know, like a bitch, and Ron and Hellboy's gonna die at some point, and Jax is kind of a self-obsessed asshole.
So. Yes, he is. And so, it's like, all right, the one character I like got beaten to death in prison. Sweet.
Opie was my favorite.
And, mine too.
And did he get beat to death in prison?
Yep.
Okay, well.
Because Jax was being an asshole and pissing people off.
Are you gonna finish it?
No, I looked up what happened.
Jax dies.
Yep, by committing suicide via running it headfirst into a truck or something. Yeah, kind
of anticlimactic.
I thought that was so stupid. Like, I looked up on IMDb how they have the little plot synopses, and I was like, oh, let's see what happens, because I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah. It's like,
really? That's what happened in the final episode? This is stupid. I'm glad I didn't finish that final season.
Yeah, right.
Or the last 2 seasons.
But yeah, no, I lose interest in a lot of the regular TV. Pretty much has to be an HBO show or something like that, or Showtime, or else I just can't do it.
It's all good, man. Speaking of HBO, you've been watching Hard Knocks?
I have not. What's Hard Knocks?
Oh, you don't know what Hard Knocks is?
No, I don't
know. Oh, it's an annual like 5 or 6 episode show that HBO makes. Oh, the football.
Falls the Texans.
Yeah, like one year was the... Well, they've had the Bengals on twice, the Cowboys, the Ravens, the Chiefs.
It's the Texans. And the Falcons. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I haven't watched that. I should check it out.
Oh, it's so much fun.
Is it? Does it basically remind you of, what was that old ESPN show that was 1 year? Playmakers?
Yeah. It's a lot like that, but it's basically that cameras are hidden everywhere.
Yeah.
And so you just see the most random shit happen. And they make it to where, like, nothing. I mean, they do editing, but. If something bad happens and someone says something real horrible, you're going to see it happen.
Yeah.
And it's just entertaining because, like, I think Brian Cushing is hilarious.
Yeah.
But people are like, oh, he's like an 80s movie bully. And they don't like his personality.
Well, he's a fucking jock. What do you expect?
I know. And he's a jock from New Jersey.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. Like, what the fuck's going to happen?
But it's just so funny. People are freaking out because he was like, to one episode, they recorded a bunch of conversations between him and this wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And the wide receiver wants to get a toy poodle and carry it around in a man purse while he goes to the clubs and stuff.
Just to pull in chicks?
Yeah. And he was just talking to Cushing. He was like, hey, man, you go to Starbucks? He's like, no, not anymore. He's like, oh, they got really good coffee. He's like, yeah, I used to go to Starbucks, but then I realized I'm not a chick, so I gave it up. And people got, like, offended by that.
Well, of course they get offended. They get offended about anything today, first of all. Second of all, like, what's said in the locker room amongst a bunch of jocks isn't going to go well over in society. It's just not going to happen.
It's so funny.
Yeah, right?
So you should watch, the first three episodes are on HBO Go, and the fourth one airs on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So you should watch the first couple episodes because, I mean, it's an hour of just seeing crazy stuff happening behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And you learn a lot about some of the random players that you never would have heard their names, ever.
Okay, I'll definitely check it out for sure.
So, I mean, it's great.
Have you been watching The Rock show, Dwayne Johnson's show?
I'm a couple episodes in, but I need to catch up.
I think I have the last episode of the season to watch, I believe. I know the
finale was like last Sunday, I think.
Just this last Sunday. So I think I have the last episode to watch, but it's actually really good.
I really liked the first couple episodes I watched.
Yeah, no, it gets better in my opinion. Like the first episode kind of was like, setting up the characters or whatever. Second one was good. I thought it got better as it goes along, and I really think that like I don't like The Rock, but Dwayne's a pretty cool dude and a pretty good actor.
Oh, he's a very good actor.
Yeah.
And apparently they eclipsed just this first season alone. They eclipsed Entourage's best ratings ever.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Because he's such a money maker.
Really? Wow.
That people watch anything he's in. It's just like, all right, well, we just completely shattered all of HBO's records.
Well, I mean, it's going to happen because, Entourage paved the way for more Showtime crowd. Just like every other HBO show has paved the way for, I mean, how many people actually remember Arliss?
I don't.
Yeah, see? Arliss was a HBO show, and it was like one of the first sitcoms. It was kind of it wasn't really a dramedy, but it was more a comedy. But it was about a guy who was a sports agent, and he was a complete self-obsessed dick. But it was like a comedy show, kind of.
Yeah,
it was pretty much a comedy show. There was a bunch of comedians on there, and it was one of the first HBO TV shows.
Okay.
I don't know if you can even find it anymore. Well, I'm sure it's somewhere, but it's funny that I think it was on HBO, but our HBO doesn't really have it anymore.
No, because they only have like a certain few shows if you look through their list of stuff.
It might have been like Showtime or something, but yeah, it was just like a guy. It was a sports agent. It was kind of, when did it air? 1996, 2002. IMDb is at 7.2 on it. It had Robert Wool playing Arliss, Sandra Oh in it, Jim Turner. A pretty good cast. Bob Costas made several appearances in it.
Who doesn't love Bob Costas?
Bob Costas. George Wallace was in a few episodes.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah. No, it was a really, I mean, it's like you had sports people. Shaq was in it. Barry Bonds showed up.
How do you spell it?
It's Arliss, Arliss, and in the title screen it actually has two dollar signs for the S's.
Gotcha.
But it was like I'm trying to figure out what it aired on. Amazon has it on disc.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. But no, it was at the time it was kind of cutting edge and really fun, and around the same time, it was 1996. I think Jerry Maguire came around that time, so everybody's jumping on the sports agent train. Shortly after that, Jay Moore played at the TV show, on a TV show on Fox, where they actually just filmed it and edited out the cuss words later.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, it was, oh, and funny. That was called Action, I believe. And it was a great show. He was like a Hollywood agent or something like that. Yeah, it was. Arliss was on HBO. It was an HBO show from 96 to 2002.
Well, there are a lot of famous people who've been on that show.
Yeah, I know. I remember watching some episodes. I think I watched the entire first two seasons. And no, it was a good show. It was fun. I liked it.
Yeah.
Because it was offensive and cutting edge at the time for sure. And it, like I said, it was one of the early HBO freestanding shows. And then shortly after that, Sopranos came out and kind of eclipsed it.
Wow, you even had late, great Stuart Scott on there.
Stuart Scott. Best ESPN anchor ever.
He is. Although that Daniel Tosh bit about him is still pretty funny.
Yeah, it was pretty funny, but... Yeah, no, I just remember, like, I used to sleep on the couch in my living room when I lived by myself, and I set my Sony Trinitron television to click on. That was my alarm. Yeah. I would just turn it on ESPN and shut it off, and in the morning I'd wake up to doo-doo-doo, doo-doo-doo. So that was my alarm clock. Yeah, I just go straight into some sports highlights from the day before.
I like that.
Yeah, I would pretty much like set an hour early, so I just sit there for the entire episode of SportsCenter, and then by the second one, I was awake and actually could see what was happening.
That's awesome.
But anyway, what else we got going on? Anything else?
Well, absolutely. So I know that since we're on a topic of TV, I've watched the first, I think, 5 episodes of the Jim Gaffigan show.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Verdict?
So far, it's better than Mulaney.
Which isn't saying much.
Nope. Because a lot of his, like, all of the plots of the episodes, I mean, they don't appear to be based around his comedy bits.
Which could be good.
Yes.
So he's not burning those up.
Exactly. Like, he'll make occasional references to his comedy and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But... I mean, there was a couple episodes that were just horrible in the middle, but the most of them I thought were pretty funny. It's really weird, like, the way they've worked cameos in, though. They had, like, one episode where they were supposed to be having a birthday party for Adam Goldberg, who plays his cousin.
Yeah.
And, like, they just randomly had a scene filled with Morgan Murphy, Dave Attell, Eddie Pepitone... what the hell is that guy's name? Damn it, I need to look up this actor's name really quick. But like all these just super famous comedians. Like there's the one who's married to Morgan Murphy, you know. And I mean they have lots of episodes that are of the ones I've watched, most of them are pretty entertaining. There were just two that were horrible. But Bill Burr made a pretty good cameo on the one last night.
Bill Burr makes great cameos in everything that he does. In Breaking Bad, he was awesome.
Colin Quinn and
You couldn't remember Colin Quinn's name?
Yeah, I always forget his name.
Really?
But yeah, no, like there was a scene that had here, I'll just run down the comedians who were in that random scene. So there was Colin Quinn, Dave Attell, Artie Lang, Tom Papa, Eddie Pepitone, Aparna Nancherla, Morgan Murphy, Bonnie McFarlane, and Rich Voss.
Nice.
And that's just all in like one just random like 2-minute scene.
Macaulay Culkin pops up in this show?
Oh, every single episode.
3 episodes.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I thought it's been more.
No, it credits him with 3 episodes.
Yeah, it's like he shows up at a party as a DJ one day. He shows up at a diner as a waiter. He shows up on Jimmy Fallon.
It's always funny when they do shows like this, and then it's like Jim Gaffigan, his wife is, you know, in real life is his writing partner.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, like they have a woman playing his wife, who's an actress and a really accomplished and really cute actress. Somebody that
she's a great actress.
I love her. What was she in that I loved so much?
I'm assuming not How I Met Your Mother.
No, that was it. That was it. I was really hoping that she would end up being the mom. But after they killed the mom off, I'm glad she wasn't. She was the cupcake, the baker. Or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah.
She was the one who like randomly climbed out the window wearing her wedding dress.
Yeah, no, I actually loved her in that. And it's funny because she put on some LBs like early, and now she's skinny again. And yeah, now she's on a show where they always do the chubby guy, skinny wife.
Yep. But no, so there are parts that I really like about the show. It's just they tried to get really serious for two of them, and it just didn't work.
What channel is it on?
That's the weird part. It airs on TV Land, and then they play replays on Comedy Central.
Oh, that's a cool, I guess that's a cool syndication deal.
It works really well for them because, I mean, no one knows where TV Land is.
Yeah, well, TV Land is just, like, out there.
Exactly.
Who knows where TV Land is at? Is that like, Nick at Night? No.
Well, it used to be. I mean, it used to be the channel that played, like, Beverly Hillbillies and Hogan's Heroes.
Of course, yeah. It was basically, and like, now the, it's like it became kind of a Nick at Night type deal, but with, like, the old school stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they used to play shows from, like, 1955.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's when, you know, it used to be all old school, like the Beav and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But no, now they play, like, really bad reality shows and kind of not great sitcoms that they made up.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that his show, it seems a lot more original than, you know, other comedian shows.
Well, that's good. Hopefully it lasts, I guess.
Yeah, because I think it's doing good things with it. It's really weird seeing Michael. Well, it's not really weird. It's kind of unique seeing Michael Ian Black play a random gay guy.
I don't know. It's not really weird seeing him do anything because he's such a weird guy. And the choices he makes are kind of unique.
True.
Did you ever watch, you know, his original show with... his original MTV show.
Is that The State?
The State, yes, with all those famous guys.
A little bit.
I watched that whole series because they put it out on Netflix or something like that. So I watched the whole series because I didn't really watch it when it aired because I was still a little young. But no, that was really good. I really enjoyed it, especially the can I put my balls on it guy. They did a bit where, like, it's like, can I put my balls on it? I could put my balls in it or anything like that, and he just whip out like a couple tennis balls or something like that. And it was just them basically kind of getting around censorship on MTV and just kind of fucking with everything, and it was pretty funny.
I heard something the other day about how they just released it on DVD, but it's not like the complete version or something like that.
I haven't heard anything about that. I don't know.
Yeah, I have to double check, but it seemed the way they made it was that apparently, like, the old VHS copies are complete, and then the DVDs are just super random and don't have all the stuff that they're supposed to.
Oh, they don't follow the episodes from beginning to end, basically?
Yeah.
That's weird. I wonder why they did that.
I don't know. I don't know if it was, like, some licensing deal or what.
Yeah, I don't know. MTV owns the rights. I mean, that's why I know that I was listening to a couple interviews with a couple of different guys. MTV owned the rights, and so they were waiting to put it out on DVD, so maybe they're holding back to do, like, some kind of special edition or something. Waters to see how this one goes, and if it goes okay, then put out a special edition for way more.
I always forget how many great actors came out of that show.
Oh, yeah, Thomas Lennon. I mean, come on, Lennon and a bunch of people.
I like Joe Lo Truglio.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Michael Showalter.
Michael Showalter. I mean, Christ, he does all kinds of stuff.
It's just crazy when you think about, like, where all these people came from.
It's funny. I'm doing a podcast, and now my phone's lighting up for the first time ever.
What do you mean?
Like, I'm getting all kinds of texts and phone calls that I'm having to reject because everybody's calling me, and people don't ever call me.
That is kind of weird.
Yeah. I could have a social life, but instead I'm going to podcast.
Hey, it's important. Podcasting's a great time. Do you know if there is a place to go back and watch Reno 911?
Yeah. Well, HBO's got the movie, but Hulu or Netflix has the whole series because we started watching it. It's on Netflix, yeah.
Okay, because I've never actually watched it.
Oh, it's great. It's great. I mean, there's so many. It's fun because we watched the pilot episode just recently, and it's literally like they do the same thing year after year where they always like would come, you know, because it's shot cop style. So you'd get the people that had the blurred faces. Well, meanwhile, it would just be a different person of the cast playing, you know, like a prostitute or whatever.
Oh, awesome.
Like Kieran Kinning. I can't remember. Is it Kieran Kinning? I think it's Kieran Kinning. She's one of the people, and like the first blurred face suspect that they come across is her. And so, because it was a pilot episode, so they didn't really have a lot of people to pull from, and they weren't paying anybody, they weren't paying themselves. But no, it's great. Yeah, and HBO Go has got, or HBO Now has got the Reno 911 movie.
In Miami?
Yeah, Miami Beach, or whatever they call it. But yeah, it's on Netflix. I recommend checking it out. Because Nick Swardson like always pops up into it, and he plays a great character.
I know he plays Terry or whatever.
Terry, he's a male prostitute on rollerblades, and he always talks about like, it's like I took my jet in this morning. I came into my jet, yeah. You know, I got all kinds of money. Just talks about that, and so the entire, and it's not really a big spoiler, but it's like he's always there over the entire series.
Just randomly pops out of nowhere?
Well, he would just, like, pop up. Like, they would get calls for him being, you know, prostituting himself or do whatever. You know, he was always their common suspect. And in the movie, like, they go to Miami Beach and become cops there because of an outbreak issue or whatever. And then they run into Terry again. And he's always talking about, like, wow, Terry, how did you get here? He's like, I flew out of my private jet. And they're like, all right, Terry. I was like, my driver's going to be here any minute to pick me up in a giant limousine. You know, like, doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, then a giant limousine shows up to take him to his private jet. Turns out he's legitimately rich, which is the best punchline for it ever.
Yeah, because isn't that what kind of made him more famous beyond, you know, like Grandma's Boy and stuff like that?
What's that?
Isn't Reno 911 what made him more famous? Oh, because like I know that he was.
It was his staple role, big time. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I knew that, yeah, he had gotten some publicity for doing, like, Grandma's Boy.
Well, Grandma's Boy didn't get much publicity at all, which is sad because it's a fucking great movie.
Really? Oh, I just thought that had more.
No, he's like, yeah, you know, Reno 911's, yeah, kind of what launched him into fame. And it really was the circles that he rolled in. And, you know, he's a functioning alcoholic and is notoriously that. And so he sweats and stuff. And I think he was talking to like Mark Maron or something years ago doing a podcast and talking about he was going to go down to the bar and hang out with Norm MacDonald.
Yeah.
And so he goes down to the bar to meet up with Norm, and Norm's running late. And so meanwhile, Nick ended up being there for like something like 7 or 8 hours by himself and got completely shit-faced
the whole time.
Norm's saying he's coming. And as right as he finally gives up and leaves, Norm comes in and like, where are you going? Let's have some drinks. And I can't remember if he ended up hanging out with Norm for the rest of the night or just said like, no, I'm fucking going.
I mean, I would have left after like an hour and a half.
Well, he was drinking. So he's a functioning alcoholic. So it's like, he's waiting for somebody, but he's still drinking.
Wow. That's just crazy though.
Yeah.
Waiting that long just for him to show up.
And he's also got another good story because he's friends with Jay Moore, and Jay Moore is one that got him some of his early jobs, and he would always like be late because he was hungover or whatever. And so there's some good stories out there for him. So
absolutely. So what have you been up to, man?
Not much, just working, doing a lot of working. Season's starting to slow down a little bit, so I'm getting a little bit more personal time, but we've been focused on buying the house and stuff. So I haven't had a whole lot of time to do a lot of stuff as far as movies and games and sports and more are coming, but the football season's getting ready to go. But so we did our draft way early, and everybody's super surprised about us doing our draft so fucking early.
Really?
Yeah. Every time I talk to you, like, you done your draft already? I'm like, yeah. It's like the only weekend we could work it out. It doesn't really matter. I mean, worst part is that you have the preseason game, so people are getting hurt.
Yeah, that's the only thing. Is like Tracy had Jordy Nelson.
Yeah, she had Jordy. Yeah, for like the fourth exactly. Year in a row. But yeah, so it's like, I mean, I'm getting ready for football season, and the shitty part is USC launches their season on Saturday night of Labor Day weekend. And they finally announced the times at 5:00, and I'm supposed to be camping.
Oh, that sucks, man.
Yeah, but meanwhile, we have a fire, you know, ban, open flame ban across the entire region. So they look at it weekly. So unless we get some serious rain this weekend, which they're only anticipating a little bit of rain, likelihood is next Tuesday and Wednesday they're going to reissue that ban for another week. And so I'm not going to be able to have a campfire. So if I'm going camping and there's no campfire, might as well just stay home and watch some football.
Yeah. It also looks like they, I mean, I know that you're not a hunter and I'm not a hunter either.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently they just canceled elk hunting and bow hunting for the next, like, 6 months or something like that.
Whoa, that's a big deal. I didn't see that anywhere. Where'd you see that?
Oh, a bunch of my relatives and friends on Facebook are all hunters.
Oh, I got a guy that comes into work all the time. He's going to be super. Well, no, I think he travels out of the state to go hunting, so I think he'll be fine. There's going to be a lot of people that are super butthurt about it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Tracy's grandpa, every year he and her brother and a bunch of their like other relatives, they go and have a gigantic elk camp.
There's a lot of people that do that, and I'm fine with it. Because those are the ones that they actually split the meat, they smoke it, love it, and they eat it. And they feed their families with it. They're not always the ones that are wanting for anything, but as long as you're not just hunting for sport, you can enjoy the sport of hunting as long as you don't waste the game. That's my biggest thing.
Yeah. No, they, trust me, they use everything.
That's good. I just don't like wild game. It's never been enjoyable for me.
I had some pretty good venison a couple years back, but I know that there are some people who have, like, the gaminess just kind of screws with people.
Yeah, I can't stand the gaminess. Like, I really hate wild game. And then, like, they can brine it and get it out of there, but my family never did that because it really was like all of our extended relatives would come to town, and they not only needed the meat, like that was what got them through the year because they were poor and lazy, so they needed the meat. But they always were the same people that every time they shot a deer, they couldn't just shoot one that they couldn't go out and find one that was standing calm. They always had to shoot the ones that were either running or they would miss the first time and cause them to run. And once they start tensing up and running, you get a bunch of lactic acid in the meat, and the meat becomes extremely tough and no good. It just tastes like crap. But, you know, they just did it for the protein. And we used to slaughter, you know, the venison and the deer and elk basically in the kitchen of my grandma's old house.
Okay.
And so that smell, I mean, we made jerky hanging from metal clothes hangers with wooden clothespins just around our wood stove in the living room. So you'd be watching TV and there's just strips of meat, and they didn't even marinate them or put any kind of coating on them or nothing. No, they were just drying the meat to save it because there wasn't enough room in the freezer, so they would jerky it. But they would jerky it by basically making our living room 100 degrees with a wood stove to dry it out. And I thought that was normal as a kid. I was like, there's a bunch of meat hanging around. You can smell that disgusting smell. I don't like to eat it, but this is just what everybody does.
Right.
No, it's exactly not. It's not what everybody does at all.
Well, damn.
We were white trash and poor.
Oh, come on.
No, we were white trash and fucking poor. That's why I go to the grocery store now.
Grocery store's great. Speaking of elk, I did go to Cascade Lakes Brewery in Bend the other day and get a really tasty elk burger.
Hey, whatever floats your boat, man. It's just not my thing.
Yeah. I'm assuming they know how to get rid of gaminess.
Yeah, I mean, it's just you brine it. You just soak it in brine, which brine is basically salt water with, you know, whatever else you want to put in it. But it does take out the gaminess, but... I actually the only wild game that I actually like is any kind of like a game hen. I do like game hen. Quail sometimes is fine. Like fowl better than red meat.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Funny thing is, I've never had any like actual like duck or anything like that.
Duck can be really good, but it can be a little tough and it's super greasy.
Really?
Yeah. Duck a l'orange used to be one of my favorite things as a kid, just because. And I only had it a couple times, but the couple times I had it, it was one of the best meals I ever had as a kid.
Why is it so greasy?
It just, they're kind of, for some reason, it's tough and kind of greasy. For some reason, duck's just greasy. Something inside the meat, I don't know. My favorite meal of all time, though, is chicken cordon bleu. And well, unfortunately, you can't find a good one in the U.S. at all. It's actually, even though it's a French name, it's a German dish. And so when I lived in Germany as a kid, you know, we basically lived right next to where it was originated from, and they did it right. Now, every time I go out and get it here, it's like I'm super disappointed.
So when I was in high school, they used to do these like drama dinner theater things, and they did them for like 8 years in a row. And the only dish that the lady who put it on knew how to cook was cordon bleu.
Ooh.
So I hated it for like the first 6 years. And then after a while, I was like, oh, wait, no, this crap is awesome.
No, it's delicious. It's chicken, ham, and cheese. Like,
yeah, it's so
what
good.
Can go wrong? I mean, chicken Kiev is probably maybe number five on my list. It's one of my favorite, but it's hard to find all these. You know, you go to a grocery store and they have those pre-made ones, or there's those frozen ones, and they're just super greasy. And it's not the same. And yeah. I'm sure I could probably make something similar at home, but I don't know. It seems like a lot of work for just me because my wife's not going to eat it.
Oh, it's so good,
though. Yeah. Anyway, we really delved into the more in a way we've never done. It's the cooking channel now.
Hey. There's nothing wrong with that. I like me some. Well, I like eating
food. I love eating food and sitting my fat ass in front of the TV and watching it. It goes hand in hand.
Exactly. Yeah. See, we're just talking about football.
Yeah. Football. Well, football season's like coming up. So, yeah.
Steak,
yeah.
It's just cordon bleu.
Hot wing season's coming up. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
It's time to have you guys over and watch some football and bust out some wings.
The sad thing is, the last time we had wings at your house was when Sanchez and the Trojans played Penn State in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, that was 2009. Yeah, in the old house that we rented. Yep.
Crazy.
I know. Dirty.
It's been way too long without wings.
Well, you know, anytime you want, I'll go out and get a whole bunch of party wings. I'll fry some. I'll bake some other ones. We'll do a whole smorgasbord.
Because I don't think people understand how great wings and football go
together. Oh, they're perfect finger foods.
And also, you know, I also dig some Smokies, too.
I can't do the Smokies. I have one, and I'm good. Really? Yeah, one of them, and I'm good. There's the flavor just doesn't settle well with me.
See, I always have to do... I can do, like, one package a year.
And I can do one little Smokey a year. Just one.
Hmm. Have you tried doing it with, like, different sauces or anything?
Plenty. Oh, yeah. Plenty. Yeah, plenty. I just... The flavor of the little smoke themselves are just don't settle well with me. It reminds... It's some kind of negative visceral memory... from a kid, being a kid.
That makes sense.
I think it's because we always had, we were poor and we had bad meat. And so, I don't know. It's a flavor that just doesn't resonate. Like, I have one of them and I'm like, that was tasty and all right, but I'm good and I'm done.
No, it makes total sense because when I was a kid, I ate too many Whoppers, like the malted milk balls.
Ooh, Whoppers. Yeah, I can't eat them as much anymore.
And got violently sick. And ever since then, every time I eat one, it's like I start dry.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I used to love Whoppers. Now I've transitioned to Milk Duds.
Yeah, I love Milk Duds. I cannot eat malted milk balls without feeling like I'm going
to
throw up.
Need to go to the strawberry ones. Give those a try.
I tried. Didn't
work. Oh, put them in cereal with milk and make them part of a cereal.
It's probably healthier than some cereals.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, man.
Well, football season's coming up. Yeah, any good movies coming out? Did you go see Mission Impossible or anything?
Oh, dude, that movie was awesome.
Did you go see it?
Oh, I thought it was fantastic.
That's what I hear. I haven't seen it yet.
And the thing I love about it is there's two little things that they didn't do in other Mission Impossible movies that I appreciated that they did.
What's that?
The first one is they had an entire fight scene based around the fact that Tom Cruise is little.
He's a tiny little guy. Was he fighting midgets?
No, he was fighting a guy who probably was normal sized. But they didn't do any camera trickery.
Yeah.
So they actually made him look, you know.
His actual height?
Like, yeah, where he was like 8 inches shorter than this guy.
No, meanwhile, that guy's just like 5'6".
Yeah, exactly. And it was great.
That's funny.
And also the other thing that they didn't do is he's not like an unstoppable badass in this movie.
Oh, well, he's getting old. I mean, he is in his 50s. At some point, they have to deny the fact that, hey, it was 1996 when the first Mission Impossible came out. It's been 20 years.
So it's like he keeps screwing up and has to get, like, his ass pulled out of the fire by the rest of his team.
Ethan Hawke's got Alzheimer's? Is that what they're setting up?
I'm assuming so, yeah.
That's funny.
Well, it's just funny because, like, there's, like, one scene in particular, which I won't say what it is, but they're just like, hey, man, there's a chance you could die if you do this. And he's like, oh, I got it. And then just goes, like, horribly wrong.
I got this. I'm from Jersey. It's fine.
I'm a little man. I do all my own driving.
Yeah, right. Bullshit. Fuck that. That whole I do my own stunts thing, it's total horseshit. As speaking as a, you know, a trained stunt professional, insurance companies that are on films, don't fucking let it happen. Don't buy it. Like, he does do some of his own stunts. He doesn't do all his own stunts, especially not a fucking 50 plus year old man. It just doesn't happen.
So you're saying he didn't flip a BMW?
Absolutely not. No, like, the insurance company wouldn't let it happen, first of all. Second of all, like, the whole point of publicists and everything is to make the star look great. It's a total line of bullshit. Like, yeah. He does a little bit of stuff, great. He does not do all his own stunts. He just doesn't.
So beyond that fact, I mean, the movie is pretty awesome, though.
Oh, it's good. I love the Mission Impossible series. I love Tom Cruise's movies. He's just batshit crazy.
Oh, yes, he is. He's a nutbag.
It's a complete nutter.
Yeah, no. So they brought back Ving Rhames and incorporated both him and Simon Pegg a bunch.
Yeah, I knew about that.
And it's way cooler having both of those, like, kind of tech geek smartasses on the same team.
Oh, I can absolutely see in those characters play well off each other.
And then also, like, Jeremy Renner's in there again, and he does a way better job in this Mission Impossible than he did in the last
one. And I thought the last one he did fine in.
Oh, me too, but he was just way better in this one.
Here's the one thing that taints the entire Mission Impossible series for me.
Alec Baldwin?
What's that?
Alec Baldwin?
No, didn't know he was in it.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, John, for ruining
it. He's like a main character in this movie.
He wasn't in the previews.
That's surprising to me, because he's like the first person you see in the movie.
Well, so here's the thing, though. Is that back in the day, I went and saw the original Mission Impossible in the theater. And you know when the one reason that I went there? Because Emilio Estevez was in the movie. I'm like, he's fucking coming back.
Oh, yeah.
10 minutes in, I'm like, fuck this movie. This is bullshit.
I always forget that part until I rewatch the movie. Then I'm like, oh, man.
Fucking gets crushed on the top of an elevator.
By John Voight.
Fucking John Voight.
No wonder Angelina Jolie hates
him. Yeah, he killed Emilio Estevez. Oh, I'm sorry. No, it is Emilio Estevez. He actually goes by his real name. It's not Carlos Estevez.
Yeah. Which is such a funny fact.
Carlos, I still love that whole that Grindhouse movie. Introducing Carlos Estevez.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that he was
in there. I did listen to a great interview with Robert Rodriguez the other day on Nerdist.
Oh, I started it. I haven't made it through
really
it
good.
Yet, though.
He's such a well-spoken dude. But just getting to the inside of, like, the stuff that he used to do, same stuff I used to do as a kid with the two VHS players, and I used to record stuff for one together, and I had all the different wires, and I would hook them in the VHS player, edit music over the top of stuff just for fun, and that's what he did.
Yeah.
And that's how he, you know, did the original what the movie ended up becoming, Desperado, or not?
And that original
Desperado,
awesome.
Not Desperado,
La Mariachi.
Well, it was La Mariachi, but ended up becoming something else, right?
No, I thought it ended up as La Mariachi, because then he made that, then he made Desperado, and then he made Once Upon a Time in Mexico.
Well, yeah. So he made La Mariachi, but then that led him to getting Desperado.
Yeah. Which those are some awesome movies.
Yeah, I mean, they're fun and stuff, but just hearing about him talk about it and how he was all about, like, just everybody should do this just because, like, might as well. Like, I want to see what you can do. Like, it's not like he was trying to be an elitist or anything like that and say, like, oh, my stuff's really good. He was doing it for shits and giggles. And after he started getting offers, he's like, man, I would have spent more than $7,000 and made this way better. But no, it was a good interview, and it was enjoyable, and just, it's always fun to hear, like, down to earth guys like that who had such success. I mean, he did Sin City, and then unbelievably did the Spy Kids series. Like, he was the one that did.
Isn't that so weird?
It is so weird. But when he talks about it, it's like, you get it. You get why he would do something like that. But that, I mean, just shows that he's multifaceted, and that it's really is a phenomenal director and writer, and can really kind of delve into that and make a good product and make something fun. I mean, Spy Kids is probably his biggest success by far because it's a family-friendly movie. But
and he still included Antonio Banderas.
Yeah, exactly. And
He's keeping that man employed.
That man should be very thankful, Robert Rodriguez, because there's not much else coming his way.
No, not unless they're making another Puss in Boots.
Puss in Boots. No, they had that series, and that pretty much, I think, killed that character.
Oh, yeah. Would not the fact that he made Spy Kids reminded me, you're familiar with the Honest Trailers series that Screen Junkies does, right? Yeah. Well, I was watching the one for Mad Max Fury Road, and I forgot until they mentioned it that the guy who made all of the Mad Max movies and Mad Max Fury Road also made Babe, a Pig in the City.
No shit.
Yeah.
He didn't even do the first one. He did the sequel, huh?
Yep.
That's funny.
And there was like another like really terrible movie that he made that they mentioned as well.
What's that?
And I was just like, really? He made Babe, a Pig in the City? What?
It's so crazy. But I mean, really, it's like you're a director. So your job is to make films. Period. Like, it doesn't matter what you get hired to do. It's just you get it paid to make films. So
it's just so funny to me.
Well, I think that's a good note to say that'll do, Pig. That'll do. Because you have to go.
I do. I have some family obligations to take care of.
Which is no problem. It's been, you know, about 45 plus minutes. So that's a pretty good short little episode to throw out. It's been a couple weeks. So, no, it's been fun. And, that'll do, Pig. That'll do.
That'll do. And on that note, everybody, go watch Kill Me 3 Times on Netflix. Pretty fun movie.
Go in with an open mind. Simon Pegg is the best point of that movie, but it's very weird. Yes, but, you know, it's on Netflix. It's free. Might as well, you know, go a little hour and a half of your day and give it up for that. It's not too bad.
And if you feel ever unsure about it, yes, it is just a big chick flick.
Yeah, kind of.
So on that note, Richard, I'll talk to you next time.
All right, man. You take care of yourself.
Hey, you do the same.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.